The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Hello, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and this is Ricky Scapero, and we are live today on this Tuesday afternoon. It is the day after Memorial Day. It is June 1st. We are beginning the first day of the month of June. And I thought I could start out with a little bit of a word of encouragement today. So if you're joining us live here on Facebook, we want to welcome you to the broadcast, to the podcast, to this segment. I know for the last couple of weeks, we've been going strong with prophetic viewpoints. We've talked a lot about Bible prophecy. We've talked about events. We talked about all kinds of things. So today, I want to discuss a word of encouragement. I want to bring up a word of encouragement that came to me personally last week, and I felt really strong to talk about this a little bit. So I'm going to be talking about why is God sleeping through my storm? Have you ever asked this question? I believe the disciples asked this question. In fact, they did ask this question, and it was recorded by at least we know of two of the gospel writers. One of them was the Gospel of Matthew. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 8 today is what we're going to be. That's going to be our backdrop of what we're going to be discussing. While you guys are jumping on board, maybe you have a Bible you can join with us, because I want to read a little bit out of the passages or out of these scriptures out of Matthew chapter 8. And I would love for you to follow along, kind of a backdrop. And I'm going to expound a little bit on this. While we get there, if this is your first time joining us on Facebook Live or perhaps on YouTube, basically any other platform outside of podcast where you can put down in the comment section below, let us know where you guys are joining us from, or if this is your first time joining us. We would always love to hear you and where you're joining us from. At the end of this segment, guys, I'm going to discuss an update with you on our podcast studio journey. As I've told you, we're on a journey of updating our podcast studio. We've moved locations. We're going to do some things. You're going to see things look different in the background, everything. And we're going to talk about the end of this segment. So let's get into this. Matthew chapter 8. When you go to the book of Matthew chapter 8, this whole chapter, Jesus is, he's coming down off of a mountain. He's healing lepers. He enters into Capernaum. There, a centurion meets him who has a servant that's lying sick and dying. He pleads and implores with the Lord to come to his house. Or he says, if I know that if you came, that my servant would be healed. Jesus agrees to go. But the centurion says that if you'll just speak the word only, I know that my servant shall be made whole. He does this, and the Lord uses this as a great illustration of such great faith. So all these things are happening. And then he goes to the house of Peter. There, Peter's mother-in-law is laying sick with a fever. He grabs her by the hand, pulls her up from her infirmity, her fever. She gets up. She serves the whole house. And then we go all the way down here to the verse 16 of Matthew 8. And it said, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He cast them out, the spirits, with a word, and he healed all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. So we're seeing Jesus doing a lot of ministry. And the disciples are with him through all of it. They're with him while he's casting out devils. He's with him as he's laying hands on the sick. He's with them when he was speaking to the centurion. They were with him when he was feeding the 5,000. They were with him through all these things that we read about. And it was recorded by, again, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we get to verse 18, and this is kind of, we're going to go into what I wanted to discuss today. Again, I know many people wanted to hear prophecy, but this is a word of encouragement. I thought I would start us out in the month of June with a word of encouragement. It may not be for you, but I'm willing to bet it's for somebody listening and watching today. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, So when you're doing this kind of work for the kingdom, it's going to attract people. It's going to attract followers. It's going to attract onlookers and people. So it says, when great multitudes were around him, he gave a commandment to depart to the other side. And then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will go with you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said unto him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Now, these are strong words and instructions given by the Lord. But watch this. Here's where we get into this. But then in verse 23, "And now when Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly..." And one of the gospel writers said that Jesus got into the boat and the disciples got into the boat with him. So we wanted to clarify that. "And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea," or a storm comes, "so that the boat was covered with waves." Now I want to stop. Let's put a time out here. And I want to say something here real quick. Let me show you the backdrop that the Holy Spirit gave me. When we agreed to follow the Lord, when we gave our heart to him, when we decided to wholeheartedly follow him, forsaking things, giving up things, laying things down, sacrificing things, walking away from things, taking up your cross and following after him. When we decided to do that, I'm willing to bet many of you were like me when you gave your heart to the Lord, and you wish you would have had a very mature believer in your life that would speak directly to you to tell you, "Look, I know you're on an emotional high right now. I know that you are excited. I know that you're exuberant. I know that your spirit man is..." You have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Who didn't? I mean, listen, I truly believe that if you've ever really experienced an encounter with God, truly been born again, truly been saved, truly been transformed by his glory, you don't have to ask me, "Do you remember when that happened?" Of course I do. I didn't have to write it in a journal. I didn't have to record it on an audio device. I didn't have to have five people document it for me so that I could go back and say, "Yeah, that was the day, and that was the hour, and that was the date, and that's where I was." I can tell you, for me personally, it was June 2nd of 2000, 7:45 p.m. Eastern. I was in a small country church in Kentucky, a Church of God of Prophecy, with about 40 people in service that night on a Friday night with my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife. I can tell you the whole thing. Why? Because it was absolutely life-changing and transforming, literally. I don't believe in this. I can't really remember when I got saved. I don't really remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, but I don't get that. I don't understand that. I can't relate to that. When this Jesus that we're talking about and we're reading about in the Bible showed up in my life and turned my life upside down, there's not a day that goes by that I don't remember when it happened and thank God that it did happen and pray that I continually to keep the same fire burning, the same zeal burning that I had 21 years ago, day after day after day. But let me get back to the point I'm trying to make. But when I gave my heart to the Lord and I got saved and my life was transformed, I don't recall anyone stepping into my life and saying, "Look, everything is awesome right now and powerful right now, and you're on cloud nine, and it seems like there's an open heaven over you, but there's going to come a time in your life that storms are going to arise. And when they come, and listen to this, and typically when storms come in the natural, we can see clouds coming. We see a cloud, we know that there's a storm, we know that there's rain, we know that there's precipitation, we know that things are going to happen. Now, here in the 21st century, here in our lifetime, in many of your lifetime, we have now what's called the National Weather Service. We have an app. We have notifications. We can turn on the weather channel, and we can, and they're not 100% accurate, but they're pretty darn close. We can pretty much plan out our week and plan out our days based on the forecast of what's coming. Can I tell you something? You can't do that in your walk with God. I can't tell you if the sun's going to be shining in my spiritual walk tomorrow, or if it's going to be an arachlodon or a tempest or a storm that's suddenly going to come out of nowhere. Now, here's the thing. Let's just talk about this for a second. I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord, guys, I didn't understand the fundamentals of Christianity. I didn't understand giving and receiving. I didn't understand making a covenant of tithing. I didn't understand fasting. I didn't understand discipleship. I didn't understand devotion. I didn't understand presence. Come on, somebody. I didn't understand praise and worship. I didn't understand any of that. But here's what I did know. I was hungry for him. And his word says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Here's what I discovered. When I didn't worry about what I was going to wear, what I was going to eat, what I was going to drink, what if I'm going to pay the bills, if I'm going to do it. I'm not saying you neglect that stuff. But what I am saying is when my primary focus was on seeking ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. I was thinking about this today. It seems like as long as I kept my eyes on him, he came through the back door every time. And I sat here and I had to ask myself, was it the fact that there was no storms in my early walk of with the Lord? Or was it the fact that I had my eyes upon the Lord and didn't focus on the storms so much so that I did not, oh, come on, somebody, that I didn't remember the storm, but I remembered the Jesus, or come on, somebody, the God who was asleep on the boat. So watch this. That brings me to the next part. Watch this. Suddenly, so look at this. Let's talk about this. So again, these disciples, they saw the miracles. They saw the supernatural. They saw the healing. They saw the deliverance. They saw the transformation. They saw the teaching. They saw the discipleship. They saw the working of ministry. They saw all these wonderful things. Then they get on the boat and remember Jesus was in the boat. He was quiet, but he was in the boat. He wasn't talking, but he was in the boat. They couldn't find him at first, but he was in the boat. Listen what it says. When they were in the boat, suddenly a storm arose and the entire boat suddenly became covered with waves. But he was asleep. And then the disciples came to him, woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We're perishing. And he stops them and says, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there came a great calm. Now, I'll remind you that I can show you another story where the disciples get into the same people that were there, get into a boat again, and they go out into the sea in the middle of the night. But this time, Jesus is not with them directly in the boat, but they're in the boat and they see someone on the other side walking towards them in the middle of the night. Peter, who remembers what happened in the sea and in the storm and in the boat, said, Lord, he calls out and says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out and walk on the water. I love this, guys. I'm telling you, here's what I'm trying to tell you. This is a short devotional today, but I'm telling you, this is going to encourage somebody today. You want to know why God sometimes, have you ever asked yourself, why is God sleeping in my storm? God, don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you see the diagnosis? Don't you see the hardship? Don't you see the uncertainty? Don't you see the confusion? Don't you see the unclarity? Don't you see the turmoil? Don't you see the marital issues? Don't you see what's going on with my children? Come on, my health, my finances, my church, my ministry, my business, the storm is shaking my boat. The water is rising. And where are you? I've cried out to you. I've been praying to you. How come you're not showing up in the burning bush? How come you're not coming in the wind or the fire or the earthquake? How come you're not splitting the Red Sea? How come you're not raining fish down from heaven? How come you're not bringing a fish up out of the ocean with a gold coin in its mouth? Where are you? I'm telling you, if you stop today, and it may have been a long time, but somebody today is asking this question, whether it's on podcast, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Facebook, you either asking it or you've been in it or you're about to go into it. And there's going to come a time in your life, depending on what stage of your walk of God that you're in, he's going to be quiet. And you're going to ask yourself, why are you sleeping in my storm? Listen, the Bible, you realize that God is sleeping here in the flesh through Jesus, but the Bible says he who keeps Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. Oh, that's even more encouragement than I was willing to bring you today, because I'm trying to tell you that Jesus was sleeping in the flesh when he was on the boat of the disciples and they were asking, where is God in the midst of my storm? But I'm going to tell you something. This same Jesus that was in the boat is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says he's forever making intercession for you and I. This is why the Bible says that we can come boldly before the throne room of grace and obtain mercy in a time of need, because he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor does he sleep. He's not sleeping. You say, well, where is he? I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit put in my heart today. And I believe it's a word of encouragement for you. Two reasons makes us begin to question where God is in our storm. Number one reason is, again, when we first got saved, our whole gaze was upon him. It was upon the cross. It was upon his kingdom. It was upon his mandate. It was upon the commission. It was upon the experience, upon the word, his presence, his transformation, the walk with him. You were madly in love with him. So therefore, when the storms of life arose around you, you just kept your eyes upon him. No wonder the prophet Isaiah says, I'll keep that man in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. So the indictment there is, the more on fire we are, the closer we're walking with him, the more we'll begin to magnify him than we magnify the storm. Because remember, I told you Peter began to walk on the water when the Lord called him out. And he was doing it. He was defying the odds. He was defying the laws of physics. He was walking on the word, because the word was given to him. Come. He was walking on the word. But then all of a sudden, for that brief moment, he took his eyes off the word and looked at the storm, looked at the circumstances. And it was then that he began to sink. But here's the thing. But God didn't abandon him. God didn't leave him. He reached down. The Lord reached down and pulled him up. All right. So number one, the first reason I believe that would make us even question where is God in our storm is, has our focus, Have we turned our eyes and our gaze off of him and put it upon our circumstances, put it upon our bills piling up, put it upon our marriage? And I'm not saying we're to neglect these things. But what I'm saying is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the second reason, again, the first reason is we turn our gaze from the Lord and we've turned it on the circumstance. And it's magnified the storm over the Lord. In fact, I remember, I was thinking about this the other day. There were storms that my wife and I walked through in the Lord that sadly I had to question whether I would have the faith to walk through those storms today that I was able to walk through 20 years ago. Do I have the same faith? Do I have the same devotion, the same strength, the same grace that I had? Do I have the same belief? Am I backslid? No. Am I walking away from God? No. What I'm trying to say is the Bible even says, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Now, the second reason is called maturity. Maturity. Watch this. Let me explain what I'm talking about. When you first, listen, it's like a child. When a child is an infant, when it's a baby and it can't walk, and it's only crawling, a parent has so many expectations for that child. No parent in their right mind is going to expect a child that can't walk on its own accord to even feed itself. It's not going to be able to talk very well. It's not going to be able to communicate very well. It's not going to be able to make life choices and experiences. It's not going to make rational decisions. It's not going to be able to walk on its own accord and take direction that it needs to. But as it matures, watch this. So what that requires of the parent is a greater level of responsibility. And in other words, you'll see the parent's hand more actively upon that child, directing it, guiding it, leading it. Come on. But then as the child matures, it goes from crawling to walking. It goes from being spoon-fed to picking up its own spoon and feeding. It goes from having to change diapers to it can use the restroom on its own. So therefore, not to say that the parent has abandoned its child, but the parent is still there. Come on. The parent is still there. The parent is still present, but the parent is supervising, and the parent's hands are slowly being pulled away because the level of maturity of the child, the parent's whole goal and what it wants to achieve is maturity of the child. So what you say, what does it got to do with us? Here's what it's got to do with us. I believe God purposely, not that he's abandoned us, not that he's walked away, but there is things that he will allow us to go through because it matures us and it strengthens our faith in him. See, I remember again when I first got saved, it was almost like I could just say Jesus and he would be right there and he would swoop in and take care of a circumstance. Or if we need a financial breakthrough, he was right there and he would take care of that circumstance or this circumstance or that circumstance or this. It was like he was there with no delay. But then I noticed as we matured in the Lord and as we advanced in our walk with God and our maturity with God, what happened? Was God still there? Yes. But here's what happened. He expected me to grow in my level of maturity in my walk with him. He expected me to get into, there was questions I had when I first got saved that I couldn't get answered, but guess what? They were in the Word of God. So the more I get in the Word, I'm not questioning and I'm not asking questions that can be found in the Word. But if I never read the Word, I won't know the answers to them. So I remain a babe in Christ and not mature, remain on milk and not meat. Does that make sense, guys? So here's what I'm saying. I believe the Lord permits us to, just like right here in Matthew 8, guys, again, the waters were coming up into the boat. The storm was shaking the boat violently. But Jesus was sleeping in the same vessel. And the disciples understood their level of faith and they put on the brakes and said, whoa, they said, Lord, we're sinking, we're dying, we're perishing. Do you not care? And then the Lord stepped in and said, you of little faith. Now, let me fast forward you. I'm getting ready to close right here. I'm going to give you more validation for what I'm preaching today. Then we go over into the new, we go all the way over. This was in the Gospel of Matthew. Then we go over to the book of Acts and we have another one of the disciples, the Apostle Paul, who is setting sail to Rome and he's on a ship with others who were warned not to take cruise or not to take sail to Rome because, listen, it was the season of storms. Oh, see, this is a whole other message. You know, there's a lot of storms that you and I get ourselves into, and it's our own demise. What do I mean? There is seasons of storms in your life. Come on, let me make it more practical. It's Thanksgiving, and you already know that if you go over to your aunt's house, or depending on where you're from, your auntie, your aunt, we can pronounce that depending on your southerner or northerner, whatever. You go over your uncle's house, your aunt's house, your grandmother's house, your mother's house. You know, every time you go over there, there is going to be a fight in the family. The brother's going to get involved. The sister's going to get involved. The daddy and mama's going to get involved. Everybody, you're going to have that grandma that always likes to speak her mind and she always stirs up trouble. Someone's always like to talk about politics, whatever, and it always causes a fight. Guys, that's a seasonal storm. But you know you got to go because it's Thanksgiving and you don't want to be the one who doesn't go and neglect the family outing. But you already know, look, if we go and we go down there, we're going to expect the storm. You're going to expect the storm if you go down. Come on, there are just certain circumstances, guys. You already know what you're getting when you step into. And Paul was warned by the men not to take the voyage because there was a season of storms. This is where we get the word Arachlodon was coming. There was going to be loss of life. There was going to be loss. There's going to be materialistic loss. There's going to be huge loss. But the men were more persuaded with money than they were with life. And they neglected wisdom. And because of this, they were wrapped up in a storm. They were caught up in the midst of a storm. And this is not a little bit of a gust of wind and some heavy rain and a little bit of lightning. No, this thing ripped their entire vessel apart. And it was so bad. Listen to this. Paul understood what I just showed you in Matthew 8. He understood that this God who was with Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Bartholomew and was with the disciples that day on that boat, because Paul wasn't there, but the disciples were before him, and You don't think that the word got out and it got back to Saul of Tarsus and got back to Paul eventually about there was a day when they sailed on this boat and Jesus was with them and he was sleeping on the vessel when the storm came and about flooded them over and they thought they were going to die. And he rose up and said, oh, you have little faith, and rebuked the winds. And they said, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? Paul understood this. And what did Paul do? Because Paul was mature in his walk with God. He knew there was a storm. He knew that there was going to be a loss of life. He knew that the outlook was grim. The apostle Paul began to call upon the Lord. He began to fast. And the Bible says that an angel of the Lord appeared and gave him specific instructions in the midst of his storm to get him out on the other side. And even though he came through on broken pieces, he still came through the storm. So I came by to stop by to tell you today, if you're in the midst of a storm today, I don't know what your storm is. I don't know how bad it is. If you feel like you're in this boat and the water's coming up over the boat, you feel like you're sinking. Your business is sinking. Your marriage is sinking. Your health is sinking. Your mind is sinking. Your senses are sinking. Everything around you seems like it's the floods have overtaken it. The storm has overtaken it. And it seems like you've done all you can do. You're at your wits' end. And it's like the heavens are brass and you can't hear from God. Listen, this old Kentucky preacher stopped by today to tell you that Jesus is still in your boat. He may not be, you may not be able to see him because of the rains and the flood. You may not be able to hear him because you think he's asleep and you think he's not answering you. But I'm telling you, if you'll just hold on a little bit, if you'll just go back to the basics. Come on. If you'll just shut your door, turn off the TV, turn off your phone, turn off the distraction, and begin to call out to heaven, begin to call upon the name that is above every name. Turn on some worship music if you've got to. Just get lost in his presence if you've got to. Begin to go push back a plate if you've got to and fast and do some fasting. Just begin to seek the Lord and he shall be found. And I'm telling you, listen to me today, you are going to come out on the other side. You may have to toss some things over the vessel. You may have to cut some losses. You may have to say goodbye to some things. Listen, that's called life, honey. There's some friends that I loved and I hung out with and we went to high school with and we partied with and we did all kinds of things with, and I loved them. And I thought in my perfect utopia of a world, I thought we were going to be together. Come on, we were going to be friends for life all the way to the end. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Every friend that I hung out with in high school, hung with, partied with, and was there with all the time, there ain't none of them around. They all either moved on or got tired of hearing me talk about Jesus. Ain't none of them around. Listen, I know this is real talk today. I know that you thought that husband or that wife that you thought was going to be your husband or your wife, that boyfriend that you think is going to be your husband, that girlfriend that you think is going to be your wife, that ain't got nothing to do with God, don't want to do with God, don't want to go to church, don't want to hear the word, and you think you're going to change them and you think you're going to conform them. I'm telling you, that could be the thing that is preventing you from hearing from God in the midst of your storm. In fact, it could be the Jonah in your boat that's causing the storm. You just might have to cut some losses and say goodbye to them. You may have to say goodbye to a business that you ain't got no business being in. Morally, you shouldn't be in there. And God's been trying to tell you, look, I know it looks like it's falling apart. I've been trying to get you out for a long time. I keep sending you lifeboats. I keep sending you speedboats. I keep sending you sailboats. I keep sending people to you all the time to give you a reprieve, to give you an escape route. But you are insisting on staying at the captain's wheel and going down with the ship when God is saying, get out of it. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to tell you today that you got to shut some things off. And it's possible. There's either two types of people watching this today. Either one, your compass has been knocked off course. It used to be focused north. It used to be focused on the Lord. It used to be tuned in with heaven, tuned in with his presence, tuned in with his word, tuned in to the heartbeat of God, and you would hear clearly from him. But life has come, and it's knocked off your compass, off direction. The storm has knocked you off compass, and now you can't hear straight. So I'm trying to tell you again, how to get back on track and hear clearly. Or number two, you're like, look, I am praying. I am fasting. I am worshiping. I am seeking the Lord, but I can't get an answer. And why isn't he? Listen, hold fast. Here's the word for you, my friend. Hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful who spoke it and promised it that it shall come to pass. Come on. I just want to tell somebody, hold fast. Hold fast. Jesus is still in the boat. He's still rebuking the winds. But here's the thing. If you fall into this second category, it means that God, listen, this is a great testament to you. It's a great compliment that you are maturing in the Lord, and he is telling you, you have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in you and quickening your mortal body, that you can speak to the winds. You can speak to the storm. You can speak, come on, to the mountain and command it to cast itself into the sea. God has given you the power and the ability to get to the other side of this storm in Jesus' name. Come on, do you receive this today? I want you to receive this today. Let me pray for you real quick, and we're going to give you some information on how you can continue to follow our ministry, keep up with our ministry, and that way you'll know more about that. So let's do that real quick. Father, I thank you today for this word that you've given me. I pray that it would be impactful to somebody. I would pray it'd be uplifting and encouraging and exhorting to them. Lord, I pray for those in this storm right now. I pray that, Father, that if there's somebody watching this today and they've been distracted, their focus has been knocked off course, and they're not focused into this thing, like their eyes are not set upon you. Their gaze is not upon you, and it's upon the circumstances, the wave, the seas, and the wind. And because of this, they're continuing to sink. I pray that, Lord, just as Isaiah said, that we would keep our mind upon you, keep our gaze upon you, keep our focus upon you. Let us magnify the Lord and not the storm today, because we know that you're pulling us and taking us through on the other side. And you're going to come out on the other side, and we're going to come out through this thing as well. And Lord, I pray for those that, Lord God, that this is just confirmation to them. The devil wants you to be lazy. He wants you to be apathetic. He wants you to turn on the television, lay down, and rest when you're supposed to be in warfare. He wants you to believe that you don't have to pray like that. You don't have to fast like that. You don't have to sacrifice like that. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't have to go to church every week. If that's you, you need to rise up and say, the devil is a liar. Get behind me, Satan, and get back in the word. Get back in his presence. Get back in the fellowship with other believers. Get back in track. Use the authority and the power that Christ has given you. He's given you that authority and that power to rebuke this storm. He doesn't need to be in the boat with you anymore, because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you have the ability and the power that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If that's you, I pray today that you would get that revelation today, and you would rise up and get through this storm on the other side in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Guys, again, we thank you for taking the time today to hop on here to our broadcast. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. That's where you're going to find all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You can, if you'll click on that subscribe button, you'll get a daily digest in your email, in your inbox every single day. You can keep up with what we're doing. I implore you to go a step further. Of course, we would like you to subscribe, but we'd like you to go a step further. Subscribe to the free app. Download the free app. Go to the Apple Store, the Android Store. Download the End Time Headlines app. It's free. Get it on your device. Get push yes for push notifications. You're going to be notified of all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as podcasts like this. YouTube channels on there. Everything is on there, right there at your fingertips on the app, available free. And guys, it takes hardly any memory up, any data. We've had people say they couldn't believe that it was, that it didn't take up much memory at all. It doesn't. It doesn't take up much data and much memory. It's the perfect opportunity for you guys to keep up with our ministry and stay in tune with what we're doing. As always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. Again, if this ministry is a continual source of encouragement, information, revelation, transformation, week after week after week, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. Guys, listen, the gospel is free. That's why this message is free. The podcast is free. The YouTube channel is free. Everything, the digest is free, but it cost us. We had to pay for the app. We have to pay the monthly fee on that. We have to pay the monthly fee on the subscription fee. We have to pay P.O. box fees. We have to pay security fees. We have to pay, the list goes on. Website hosting, images that we use in articles. Those things are not free. They're monthly charges. So all these things are expense to us, but we don't charge our listeners and our viewers a single dime. We do not charge you nothing. All we ask is if the ministry is a blessing to you, your family, your friends, it's helped you in your walk with God, it continues to encourage you week after week, we ask that you would seek the Lord, pray about it, and ask Him what you would do to become a monthly partner. You can do that two ways, electronically or check or money order. If you do it by electronic giving, you can go to the app, go all the way to the bottom to the right, click on where it says donate. You can give there, or you can go to the website on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and you can give there as well electronically. Or right there on the screen, you can give to End Time Headlines by making the check out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And again, that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. And as always, guys, wherever platform you're watching today, if you're watching by Facebook, don't forget to share this. Don't forget to tag people in this and invite people on. If you're watching by YouTube, don't forget to hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified of every time we post a new video. If you're listening by podcast, whether it be Spotify or app or Apple, please don't forget to invite and share people to our podcast. And as always, guys, we're going to sign off for today. We love you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. We're going to sign off for today. We're going to probably be back on. We're only going to come on twice this week because we had Monday off for Memorial Day. We just decided not to do that. We're going to be back on here either Thursday or Friday. I'm not sure what day yet, but be watching for either Thursday or Friday. We'll come back on with either a prophetic viewpoint or another devotional message like this today. Now, I know some of you were wanting to hear about the update. All right. So our next phase of the podcast studio, which you see here behind me, we're putting up these, I thought about different ways we could do this, but I wanted to make this simple. So what we're going to do is put up these planks right here. These will go all the way across the back here. So it'll be really pretty. It should be beautiful. They'll be nicely done behind us. So it'll be a little bit, it'll warm it up, to warm up the background a little bit. The studio will be warm, more of a warmer look on the background. Then we're going to go through stages and phases. So you're going to see that. Then we're getting new, we're going to get new lighting. So it'll be much better lighting here. We're going to get new equipment, new microphone. We're probably going to have like an arm, so this won't be sitting on my desk anymore. It'll be a podcast mic arm that will be here that we will use. We're going to get a better soundboard. So all this stuff is coming, better camera, et cetera. So these are phases that we're going in. And again, doesn't cost you guys a penny. But when you support this ministry, that it goes into this. It goes into helping spread the gospel. Again, every penny we get, we tithe it. We support ministries, missionary work, orphanages, the homeless, the widows, et cetera. We take, again, a 10% of everything that comes into our ministry, and we support other ministries. And I believe that's why, honestly, guys, why the Lord has blessed ETH as much as he has, because we've come in covenant with him, and we have been for all these years, for the 11 years that we've been going strong. So we're going to sign off for today, guys. We'll be back on either again on Thursday or on Friday. But until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.